Hello, are we on?
You may be muted.
Hope not.
Well, no, I can hear you. So you're not muted. I don't
Okay.
know why you can't hear us.
I just heard you.
Okay, we're good. I'll keep going.
Yeah.
Susie's here. Ed Necker. I haven't seen Ed. Eugene. Cosette is here. David Reeser, I thought I saw David. Yep. And Philip Shemu. Josh, you are here. I don't think I counted you the first time around. So is there anybody here that I didn't call? Oh, Pete.
Phil Barnhart is here too.
Gotcha. Okay, Pete. There's another. I always forget to get all the way over to the right side of the page. And Vidal is here.
Alma
Okay.
Jesus is here too.
Say again.
Alma.
Yeah, I did get you down, Alma. Okay, so I've got Philip not here and Hoover not here and Ed not here. Is that right? Okay, so the agenda today is for us to review the thing, the other part of our job, and that is to look at the stiff discretionary and the stiff statewide transit network program. And under the statewide network transit program is the intercommunity fund and the 5311 intercity funds. We have seven proposals, and I would like for all of us for us to be able to finish our work today in one shot. And with that, I will turn it over to Kate to sort of give us some introductory comments, and then we'll have some presentations. I guess I should have mentioned my name is Mike Eister, I chair of the committee.
Thanks, Mike. Can you go down to slide six, Camille? I think that's where we're at. And then we can go to the next one. So as Mike said, we're gonna quickly review a little bit about these programs. We've talked about them before, and then we're going to ask each provider to talk for just a few minutes about their projects and tell you about their projects. As a quick reminder, these funds that we're talking about today are we're talking about the this is the overall stiff. So you can, as a reminder, this is what fund stiff. For our last few meetings, we've been talking about that 90% formula fund. But now we're going to move ahead and talk about the discretionary fund and the intercommunity fund, as well as FTA 5311F. So if we can go to the next slide. So we're going to skip past formula because you're all very familiar with this. But right now, all the applications that you're going to see, there was one application for all three of these funds. So applicants could choose to apply for any of these three funds. They could say, I want to apply for all three of them, or just one of them, or two of them. And they all are somewhat similar, but also a little bit different. So the 5% is the discretionary fund, and then the statewide transit network program makes up the other two funds that you can see below. And those are mostly more intercommunity type travel, which I'm going to talk about a little bit more of each of those. So for the discretionary, you can see here that these is eligible projects. They're mostly capital projects, management, planning, research, pilot projects. So for the stiff discretionary fund, again, 20% match is required. It can be reduced to 10% match. I will say that last cycle, I don't believe any projects got reduced to the 10% match because there was so much ask across the state, but that is an option. The discretionary funds, I think a big thing that stands out about these are not for ongoing operations. So this 5% is really just for pilot projects if it's going to be used for operations. Then the stiff intercommunity fund again gets tied together with that FTA 5311F. Similarly, it can be a 20% match, or it can be down to a 10% match required, but because of oversubscription, most projects, I think, if not all, had to have a 20% match last cycle. Again, also can be used for capital projects, mobility management. This can be used for pilot and ongoing operations programs. Several of the applications that you are going to see today have already received these funds in the past and have received them for one or two cycles previously. And then 5311F Inner City, these are federal funds. These have very specific funding options that they have to be serving distances for routes that are 20 plus miles or close a significant gap in the statewide transit network. Again, these are not for commuter services, but they are for those longer route carriers. You can use them for capital projects. You can use them for pilot and ongoing operations. Diamond Express, which we'll hear about today, has been funded through 5311F in the past. You'll see that there's different match rates for these depending on if it's operations or capital. So if it's a capital request, then you can get up to 80% of it covered through 5311F. If it's an operations, only 50%. As I said, the applicants today applied for, each of the projects applied for 1 to 3 of the programs through the process. So they all applied, they sent these applications into ODOT. ODOT reviewed the applications for completeness, and now they forward it on to you all, as well as the Area Commissions on Transportation. So the Lane Act will also be reviewing the same projects that you all are reviewing. And just as a note, some of these projects could receive multiple types of these funding. So if it's eligible for both 5311F and the STIF intercommunity, then it could be some combination of the two. Really, I think the selection committee has done a pretty good job in the past of trying their best to make sure that they're combining the funds to make them go as far as possible. I believe that Cosette has served on the selection committee in the past. So she is here to answer any questions about that. and then next slide. So here's a little bit about, like I said, how the process works. Those applications were due to ODOT. Then you all are reviewing them now, and they're due back to ODOT again. Your review is due back to ODOT on February 6th. Then the selection committee will review based on your recommendations, and then they will give a recommendation to PTAC, which is the Public Transportation Advisory Committee. Public Transportation Advisory Committee will review and make a recommendation to the Oregon Transportation Commission, which will make final decisions this spring. All right, I am going to let each of the providers talk for just a few minutes about each of their projects, and then we will talk a little bit more about what you all's role are today. So Melissa is actually up first, I think, and I think she's on Zoom.
Okay. And I'll just remind the group here that there are 7 projects altogether that we're going through. Melissa, are you there? You ready to start?
I am. Thank you.
Dive right in.
All right. I'm going to go ahead and share my screen, if that's all right.
Yes.
I do need some assistance. There we go. Okay, so hopefully you all see the map. Yes?
No.
All right.
I see your emails.
Oh, that's no bueno.
But it's interesting.
Oh, it really isn't. I promise. there we go. That looks better.
Yeah.
All right. The Florence route. That's from Coos Bay to Florence, started in July of 2020. This project is looking for operational support for the miles outside of Coos County. The Coos Bay to Florence connection maintains service between geographically separated communities. And we operate 2 round trips a day, 6 days a week, Monday through Saturday. The service is a deviated service up to 1/4 mile from the route. Reservations are recommended to avoid overcapacity. And services are coordinated with Coastal Express to the south. That's operated by Curry Public Transit. And the Florence Yahats connector to the north. And the Rhodey Express to the west. This provides a seamless public transit service. And the municipalities visited along the route include the origination site of Coos Bay North Bend, Lakeside, Winchester Bay, Reedsport, Gardner, and Florence. You can see on the map that the Coos County border would be just north of Lakeside. And then we have Douglas County and then the last piece is Lane County. So we do cover quite a bit of ground there. I understand that you also were interested in ridership. And if you'd give me just a second, I can switch screens. Is that big enough for you or should I make it bigger?
We got it.
Okay. So this is the last 11 months. So you can see this particular route is growing every month. In January, our ridership was just 74 riders for the month. And here in November, we had 226 riders for the month. So we do project that ridership will continue to increase. And if that comes to pass, then we'll look at moving from 2 round trips a day to potentially 3 round trips a day.
Great.
Is there any questions with respect to ridership or the geographical area that we cover?
Questions, comments from the committee?
I just have one question. What is the time for a rider to spend, or let's just say if they're on the transit there from Florence all the way to Coos Bay, that from the first stop all the way to the last stop?
Okay, that was a little quiet, but I think the question was with respect to this actual schedule. And so we depart in Coos Bay in the morning at 7:15 a.m. And then we get to Three Rivers Casino at 9:20 a.m. Is that helpful?
Oh, yes, that is. Thank you.
Okay.
Other questions from the board? Okay. Do you have more, Melissa?
Would the committee be interested in me highlighting the equity piece?
Yeah, that sounds important.
Okay, very good. So the route serves a population that is a 16.2% in poverty, 18.9% minority, 21% with a disability, and almost 23% of seniors. Wow. In addition, along this route, almost 34% of the households only have one car, and 9.5% are car-free. So as you can see, it's a very important service along the route, as well as connecting these very rural communities to essential services in a larger metropolitan area.
Sounds like it's doing what was intended.
Yes, very much so.
Other questions, comments? Thank you, Melissa.
Thank you.
Who's up next, Kate? Let's see, that's project number 2. I don't know who the presenter is. Well, here we go. Yes.
And Kelly Clark here to represent the Eugene de Florence grant application for the Lane Council of Governments. And the Eugene Florence route is one of the Lane Council of Governments, or LCOG's Link Lane transit services. It began February 18th, 2020. So just within 3 weeks of the pandemic starting. So we've been operating in COVID conditions for quite some time, but as we emerge out, we're seeing a lot of growth and opportunity for the route. It operates 7 days per week with 2 round trips per day. Begins at the Eugene Amtrak station and stops at the Lane Transit District downtown, and then in Bonita, Mapleton, the Three Rivers Casino, Old Town Florence, and then the Florence Grocery Outlet. And at that Florence Grocery Outlet, we see a key transit service hub where the Rodie Express, the Eugene to Florence route, Florence to Yahats, and then the Coos County area transit route that we heard just heard about all meet. So it's become a nice little transit hub right in the middle of Florence. So this project, what we're requesting is continued operational funding for the operations as are, with an opportunity to add in a midday run 4 times per week to line up with the route we just heard about. And that's been kind of in our funding for some time, but we've been holding off on adding that service, that third midday run, as we've been in pandemic, and then our fleet has created some limitations for that. So we still look forward to be able to do that with this round. These funds are the majority of our funds. So we're seeking 80% of the operational funds for this route. The additional 20% or 10%, if we are awarded what Kate just mentioned earlier, would come from the formula funds, which we applied for this committee as well. I can provide some ridership information. We are, like I said, we're seeing increase in ridership. And since we are now have almost 2 years of operations, we're starting to see some trends with kind of the January through March quarter increasing from the first 2021 from 793 riders to 2022 with 1,187 riders. The April, May, June quarter in 2021, we saw 1,350 riders. And this year we saw 1,785. The July, August, September months, which are our highest ridership months in 2021, we saw 1,593 riders. And this year we saw 2,354. We don't have all the data yet for this last quarter, but we're seeing a similar rate of increase over from last year. So we're really excited about those numbers and hope to see that continue. So this biennium, we do intend on doing, you know, enhanced marketing, things like that to increase ridership. And we're seeing use from people using the route for very, very high needs. They may not have another option. They're getting into the metro area for services that they might not have in Florence. And then on the other end, people from the Eugene-Springfield area going out to the coast for recreational opportunities, and then seeing connections with the Amtrak and other services beyond. So
are there any job commuters, do you think?
It's a little harder for the job commute. It's a long commute, and we really tried hard at the beginning to plan around that and for that. But we're not probably seeing as much of that just because of the length of the route and the time it takes. And one thing that we are seeing opportunities with, and we've talked with Workforce Oregon, is there's what the Workforce Oregon recognizes, that there's a lot of people who are seeking work in the Mapleton area, and there's a lot of jobs in need in the Florence area. And so when we talked with them, that's why the fare between Mapleton and Florence is only $1, because they said, let's get people back and forth between employment areas and residential areas. So we're still seeking opportunities for that. I'm happy to answer any questions. So kind of just
who's that?
This is Phil Barnhart.
Go ahead, Phil.
What is the capacity of your equipment? What percentage of it is actually utilized how many seats compared to how many bodies?
Yeah, thank you for asking. The three buses that we have, one we just cycled out, so I'll go back to two. Both hold 12 to 16 passengers based on the ambulance, based on whether or not the wheelchair seats are deployed or not. This summer, we were at capacity. We were seeing people needing to, they didn't have seats, so they were in the aisles. But for the majority, we're seeing 7 to 8 passengers, so we do have a comfortable amount of space on the buses. We do have a bus on order that is a category B that will be, I think that will seat closer to 22 people. And so that should meet the needs for our higher ridership days. And that bus should be in construction or in manufacture starting in January. And so we hope to get it this spring in time for summer to roll around.
Yeah, but this project doesn't include money for that bus.
No, it does not. We sought funding through the CARES Act and FTA, some Federal Transit Administration money dollars. So those buses, our upcoming buses coming in, were not funded through STIF.
Great. Thank you. Just assume I asked the same question on the other projects.
I'll try to remember to address that before you have me to ask.
Other questions, comments from the committee?
I just have a comment. Maybe you can answer that. That's fine.
Sure.
I know that corridor between Union and Florence is a pretty dangerous route. It's a lot of things happen through there that's unfortunate. Yeah. And I do keep an eye on that corridor because of that same reason. But yeah. The question I wanted to ask you, and maybe, like I said, maybe next time you can answer whatever, from a safety perspective.
Yeah.
Do you sense or feel that your riders feel more safer on the transit?
Yeah, thanks for asking that. That's an interesting. So when we were doing the kind of the planning level of work for this route, we did a survey just of the community members along and blasted it out to whoever would respond to it. And safety was a strong concern on that corridor. So you kind of hit the nail on the head there, and like people not feeling comfortable driving it. And so again, another reason for us to want to provide this service and keep it in operations, because there are people that we hear about that are taking it because they don't feel comfortable driving. But another kind of response to that is that we've had people ask if we can do like flag stops along the way. And because there's residents along the way that they can't really get to our stops, they're a little distance, which is unfortunate, but the safety concern causes us limitations about being able to just pull off for flag stops wherever people might need them. So that's one challenge with that route.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Thanks, Kelly.
Yeah.
Anything else for Kelly? Okay. Number three.
I think I have the next one too?
Florence to Yahats.
Okay. So our Florence to Yahats route began in, again, I'm Kelly Clark. I'll just start to think about that. Representing LCOG for this application. And this is another of the Link Lane transit services that LCOG operates. So this service began in September 2018, and it was actually initiated by Lane Transit District in partnership with ODOT, the Oregon Department of Transportation, because there was a critical gap in the transit along Highway 101. And so the route between Florence and Yahats, which this now kind of closes, that gap existed for years and years. And so ODOT and LTD partner to begin a pilot service to operate that. But as LCOG was starting up our transit services, it kind of made more sense as the operator outside of the LTD district boundary that we would continue operations. So we were able to transition that to LCOG pretty seamlessly and have been operating it since. As I mentioned, this route travels between Florence and Yahats. It operates Monday through Saturday with 4 round trips per day. And it begins at the grocery outlet stop in Florence, which again is that key transit hub that we mentioned. It stops at Carl G. Washburn State Park and then at the little log church museum in Yahats. And so we see a lot of travelers going between Florence and Yahats for personal needs, for just enjoyment of getting back and forth between the two communities. We see a lot of travelers traveling along 101 with their backpacks or their bicycles who may not want to like bike on that part of 101 that feels not as comfortable. And the Carl G. Washburn State Park is surprisingly active with backpackers and people getting off to hike and enjoy that area. And so we've adjusted the route a little bit to better align so people can go from Eugene to Florence and Yahad's and back in a day. It's a long day, but they're able to do it. And we also have this route in as part of the Amtrak kind of opportunity where you can log on to Amtrak and get a ticket for a seamless route between like Eugene or Florence and beyond. This project budget does include what we're requesting as operational funding for this route to continue with the schedule as is, but also includes expansion to Sunday service, which would be a really good expansion in a region that's very recreation oriented. Similar or the same as the Florence to Eugene route, we're seeking funding for 80% if we get 10% because, or 90% because we qualify, that would be great, but we're assuming 80% and then had applied for 20% of the funding for the match, the formula funds. This route is also, we're seeing increase in ridership from this route as well. I know these are pure numbers, but I think they're kind of interesting. So January, February, March, 2021, we saw 181 riders. This year we saw 250. April, May, June, 2021, we saw 362 riders. And this year it was 327, so pretty similar. July, August, September, we saw 501 riders last 2021, and 2022, we saw 806. So that's a pretty big increase for that route in riders. And then we don't have the data yet. I guess I do have the data. So in 2021, October, November, December, we saw 250 riders, and this year we saw 421. So comparable to the other route, we're seeing increase in ridership, which is really exciting. This year, we want to continue some marketing opportunities. We've sought some out before the COVID started, and then the pandemic hit. We can't really do what we wanted to do. So this year, we're looking forward to maybe seeking out more marketing opportunities and really hitting that piece of it hard. The bus seats 12 to 14, depending on whether or not the ADA compliant seats are deployed. Usually we're not at capacity since it runs four times a day. We're able to kind of spread out the riders a little bit more than in the Eugene Florence route. And so we just haven't seen that capacity issues. And I think the next bus that we get will be the similar size.
Thank you. Questions, comments? Anybody online? Okay. Thank you.
Okay. So, sorry if I'm talking too long.
Well, we're on number four, and we've got seven altogether.
Okay. And I'm next. Okay. this is a different one for us. So I'm still representing Elkhog here for Link Lane, but this is a different application for us. So it's called the South Lane County Metro Shuttle. And it's actually currently in operation. Cottage Grove is the contract provider for it, and they operate it through South Lane Wheels. And Cottage Grove approached Elkhog and LTD and said, we'd like to shift those responsibilities for transit provision to the experts. And so we've been having a lot of conversations with Cottage Grove on how to transition services to Elkhog and LTD. And where we landed is, again, looking at Elkhog's focus really is internal, and let's serve the district within our boundaries. And Elkhog kind of fills in the gaps in the rural Lane County. And so this metro shuttle hit that sweet spot for Elkhog and what we want to be doing. So this is a rural-based demand response transit service. And rides are scheduled by making a reservation via the operator's dispatch, typically from the rider's home and then to their destination of choice in the Eugene Springfield area, but it doesn't have to be in the metro area. It could be in Cresswell or in Cottage Grove, really anywhere in South Lane County. And so what we're proposing is that Elkhog is evaluating this service as a pilot project for us. And we really wanna look at how can we use it as a model to really be complementary to transit needs in South Lane County, and if it's effective, other areas of rural Lane County. And so can we look at ways to do a similar service outside of the area it's currently currently serving? So we're looking at, maybe we want to rebrand it, change the fare structure, change out service hours. What do we need to do as we evaluate this service to make sure it's working and functioning and really serving the residents it's intended to serve?
But most of them, I'm sorry.
Yeah, go ahead.
Generated, but side.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, all of them will. And we don't have like a super structured boundary, but yes, it's kind of Dorena Lake over to the Lorain area down. It does serve currently into Douglas County, but it's very rural there and there's not a ton of rides that we see there. This route did see last year 2,531 rides, or this service did see 2,531 rides. And so it's not insubstantial number of rides. We just want to see, you know, how is it working and what can we do better? Our project application is seeking operational funds for 80% of the operational costs, or 90 again if we're awarded that.
Questions, comments for Kelly? Anybody online?
Phil? Yeah, Phil Barnhart again. Again, I apologize. It's probably in the list someplace, but to what extent does this complement or replace the federally required senior and disabled services rides, the name of which I have managed to forget?
John, do you have a response to that? It's not replacing the senior. It's not replacing the ADA transit requirements that LTD already is operating within the metro area. Although LTD is looking at adding some of those services down Highway 99 and into Cottage Grove. I don't want to speak for John. That's why I put him on the spot here. But as part of our conversation, that has definitely been an opportunity that LTD is looking at.
Thank you. That's very helpful.
And
I think John can elaborate a little bit, Phil.
Sorry. I can try. So the city...
He'll either have to move closer to the mic or speak much louder for people online to hear.
Can you hear me okay? Okay, the City of Cottage Grove has asked that we essentially find ways that we can take over transportation services that have traditionally served community members in both the City of Cottage Grove and in South Lane County areas. And so LCOG and LPD have partnered up with the City of Cottage Grove and the current transportation provider, South Lane Wheels, to be able to do that in the upcoming biennium. And so we have a comprehensive plan that uses a combination of both the SIF discretionary funds, SIF formula funds, and 5311 formula funds to be able to provide similar types of services that the communities come to rely on. And so that includes several different areas that we proposed in the upcoming biennium, which include both as part of this packet, South Lane services for people who live outside of the Cottage Grove city limits within the South Lane area down to the Lane County border, to be able to connect them into the either in Cottage Grove or the metropolitan area. Separately from that application, we also have formula funds and 5311 funds that we're intending to use towards both ADA service within the Cottage Grove and Presswell communities. That's within 3/4 mile boundary of where our fixed route service goes. That's a bit above and beyond what the service is currently there today, as well as some SIF formula funds that we've programmed towards mobility on demand service in that area. So all of those combined together create a comprehensive transportation solution for residents south of our metropolitan.
Thank you. That's very helpful.
Any other questions, comments from the committee?
I did have a question. This is Josh Krasinski. Can you clarify who's writing this service and what is it for? Is there a means testing for this? Are these folks specifically going to medical appointments or is it for any trip?
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. I should have clarified that. This is for anybody. So there's no criteria involved. Anyone who wants a ride can call into the reservation system, request a ride. They'll be picked up and dropped up to the physician at their origin of choice. We assume their home, but we don't know that. And then dropped off where they're requesting to be dropped off. It's an on-demand service, but in the rural context.
Okay, thank you. And then I think I understood that this is not the same thing as what is currently operating within the city limits of Cottage Grove. Would that also be taken over by LCOG?
Yeah, and that's interesting. So that will be an LTD service. So it's a very similar service, an on-demand service within the city limits of Cottage Grove that LTD will manage and operate. This rural Lane County Metro Shuttle will have a similar profile, but will be in outside of the city of Cottage Grove and in the rural context.
Okay, thank you. That clears it up for me.
Any other questions, comments from the committee? Thank you, Kelly.
Yeah, thank you.
So LTD is up next on the Rhodey Express. Is that right?
I'm happy to speak to our Diamond Express application with you.
I'm sorry, it was Diamond Express, yeah.
So I'm John Allen with Lane Transit District. Our Diamond Express is a service that connects the Oak Ridge and nearby community with our metropolitan area. So this is a service that would be eligible to use either intercommunity or 5311F funds, and it's traditionally used 5311F funds. So this is a long-standing service that Lane Transit District has offered to be able to serve what's otherwise an isolated community in our area. So there is an Amtrak train that goes right by the community of Oak Ridge, however, does not stop there. And so this is a community that's has roughly double the number of older adults and people with disabilities as we would see counted statewide. And so we've seen this as an important connection for us to make sure that residents in that area have access to local employment, to educational opportunities, healthcare, to be able to access other transportation options. So the airport, trains, be able to travel elsewhere. Not possible without being able to make transportation connections. So we found this to be an important lifeline to the Oak Ridge community. The Diamond Express service operates 3 times a day, 5 days a week on weekdays. Particularly because we're serving a low-income community, we've kept fare very reasonable at $5 for round-trip service. This also includes a complimentary day pass on LTD fixed route service. So as someone comes off of the Diamond Express service, which happens to stop at our downtown Eugene station, they can then easily and seamlessly transfer onto one of our fixed route buses, say if they needed to go to Lincoln College, university, to the hospital, or to their appointment, whatever it is they need to do, their shopping. This is a very well-used service. So we operate typically around 200, over 200 hours per month, over 5,000 miles per month. It's a very long trip. It typically takes over an hour for someone going end to end. And we perform over 500 trips per month. And that's at current service level, which were reduced throughout the pandemic. So we're seeing those start to increase again, but we're still not quite at our pre-pandemic capacity level. We use a 40-foot bus to operate this service, has a bike rack on it, and we can typically have strong ridership. The bike rack is additionally important because Oak Ridge is a tourist destination. People doing mountain biking, and we want to ensure that people maintain that type of access. Separately from this application, we also have formula fund applications that look to further expand the service. So, including a 4th weekday trip and a Saturday service pilot, not included in the funding we're asking for here. So this is the core funding to make sure that the service can continue to operate as the community has come to expect. As I mentioned, this is a long-standing service. Traditionally, we applied using 5311F dollars, which have now been rolled into the STIP discretionary process as of the last biennium. So we're looking to continue using either intercommunity funds, which would be our preference due to the lower match rate, or 5311 funds as necessary, with our understanding being we'd be eligible for either. Any questions about that? Any
questions? Questions, comments from the committee? Online folks, don't see anybody.
I have a quick question.
Jump in.
We already viewed this project for formula funds that would be used as the match. Is that correct?
That's correct. So
okay.
we do have a separate formula fund allocation that would be for the match portion for these funds.
Thank you.
We also received a small contribution through the city of Oak Ridge to support the service. And then the fare box revenues that we received also can further help support the service. As I mentioned, that $5 round trip for a trip that takes over an hour, that does not cover gas money, but it is important that we receive contributions before we can. So it's a fairly rough route, so it's winding, it's long. We get a lot of wear and tear on our vehicles for the service. However, we do feel it is an important connection for us to make for what would otherwise be a community that would not have other transportation options to connect to the metropolitan area. As we've seen in prior years where there have been power outages and inclement weather events, that's had pretty severe impacts to the community. So making sure that we can maintain that connection has been a vital lifeline.
Other questions? Thanks, John.
Just a really good comment. Very good job on the bus service. Myself, I've taken a little trip multiple times with my bikes and even go to work. Great.
I was hoping you'd chime in with some personal experience.
Hey, John, can you change mics? I think that mic is a little quiet. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Can folks hear me a little bit better? Great.
Okay, are we ready for the Roadie Express now?
Absolutely. So I'm actually not going to be speaking specifically to the Roadie Express, but to the Roadie Express facilities.
Bus shelter, I see.
Exactly. So these are bus shelters that support services like the Roadie Express, and in particular Roadie Express. You've heard several times today, many of our applicants mention the grocery outlet in Florence, which has quickly been becoming a transit hub along our coastal route. So several of our different transportation services mark a major transition point at that spot within Florence. It is not ideal to have a bus shelter that is rusting and leaking and to be rained on in the cold while waiting for a bus, particularly on the coast. Our bus shelters are very old, and as we typically do, we've tried to maintain them as best we can with lower cost solutions, including trying to re-powder coat our bus shelters and finding ways to be able to maintain them. However, the salt air along the coast makes it incredibly difficult for us to keep our shelters from rusting out. So we've reached a point where we no longer can maintain them, and we've identified four spots in particular where we would prefer to be able to replace our shelters, to be able to maintain ridership for a community that contains a higher than average proportion of older adults who would typically not prefer to be waiting out in the cold and rain for buses such as Link Lane or Roadie Express. So grocery outlet being, I think, one of our highest priority as one of those main hubs. And we've identified three other areas, 8th Street, Oak Street, and the middle school in Florence to be able to seek replacements. So in particular, I think we've noted that our infrastructure within Florence has been rapidly deteriorating, as we see with both our own vehicles and anyone who's ever lived on the coast or had a vehicle there. You'll notice how quickly metal turns to rust. We wish we would be able to get a few more years out of our bus shelters, but unfortunately, due to the conditions there, we just find that they are quickly necessitating replacement.
Questions, comments?
No.
Thanks, John. Who's that? Phil?
This is Phil. Sorry. Can you give us a little bit of a description, since I don't remember seeing your bus shelters, of what they look like? I mean, is this like in Eugene where there's room for a couple of people to stand under a tiny shelter, and if the wind blows, you're going to get wet anyway, or is it something bigger than that, or what can you tell us about it?
And they are quite small, so they are typically an overhang, a place just to be able to get out of the rain while waiting for a vehicle. Some of the shelters have included trash cans in the past, and we've been fairly choosy in locations where someone would have easy access if they were, say, going shopping or having a major transportation point that they'd be able to transfer through. So I think in particular, we've noted the grocery outlet has been kind of a natural location for us to make those types of transfers and allow people to wait. I think over time, we could see this develop into something as a bit of a larger transportation hub. But at this point in time, we just really like to have people have a place to get out of the rain.
Thank you. That explains the economy with which you're able to build, I guess, many shelters. Thank you.
Exactly. It's a great question.
Anybody else? Okay. So vehicle replacement.
Well, good afternoon. They say save the best for last, but I'm following some great company. So I guess the largest ask is for last. But what we're coming for you before the committee is to request funding for three MX buses. That's our bus rapid transit system, the green one that you see on the corridor. If you're not familiar, it's really one that connects east or west Eugene and comes through Springfield Station, as well as connects north through Pioneer Parkway. These vehicles really transport about 40% of our overall ridership, so are critical to our system. The other unique thing with our BRT buses, MX, is they're five doors. And so you can't use, like you can in other portions of our system, a 60-foot vehicle to run in the corridor, because we board people not only on the curbside, the right side of the bus, but also on the left side or the street side. So we're seeking funding for three MX buses to replace some of our aged fleet.
So these are replacement buses you're talking
They are
about.
Replacement, not expansion.
Questions? 40% of the ridership sounds kind of important.
Yes.
Who is that, Phil?
David.
David, go ahead, David.
David, then Phil.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did I?
No, go.
I didn't hear you, Phil. All right, quick question. I was curious with the MX buses, the new ones here, will they have the same bicycle capacity as the previous ones, same design? Are there any updates in those new buses?
Yeah, great question, David. So they would be the same as our newer series of buses, the one that have, when you enter into the bus on the rear side, the spin locks. So we have two different types. Some of the older MX buses are, they grab a strap, throw it against the side of the vehicle, essentially. But these would be inside of the bus, similar to the brand new ones we have.
Okay, great.
So the spin lock, the capacity right now is three still.
Thanks.
Phil?
Yeah, thank you. This is my usual question from earlier times. Have you considered getting electric buses instead of the clean diesel that you are planning on? I don't even know if they're actually available for a bus of this configuration. Do you know what the extra cost would be if you were to do that, to purchase them, versus the cost to fuel an electric bus that I assume is quite a bit less than a diesel?
Yeah, good question, Phil. And I did anticipate that for you or from you. So, but there are 60-foot electric vehicles out there. The problem that people have is with range as well as operational costs. So currently there's an agency up north that are running five-door buses, 60-foot, and they're estimating maybe 56-ish miles per charge, which really won't accomplish what we need. There are ways in which you can do opportunity charges throughout the day. We have studied that. It does not look like it's economical for LTD to get into that for these buses that the duty cycle is, you know, 12, 14 hours a day. So we have looked at that, have determined at this stage in the game that electric buses on that route will not serve our community. It would sacrifice a lot of operational costs associated with that. What the premium is, I can tell you it's probably $300,000+ for taking it from a clean diesel to a fully electric vehicles.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate that you stay after this topic, because eventually, of course, you're going to have to go entirely electric or potentially something else.
But yeah, we absolutely keep our finger on the pulse to see what's happening in the market. And we're hopeful that people will identify the range thing with a fully electric vehicle. But right now, it's just not on the market.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Thanks.
Thank you.
So that's our seventh and final proposal. What I would like to do is to see if there are any overarching questions anyone has, and then I would like to entertain a motion to pass these proposals on as a recommendation. So are there any overarching questions that anyone would like to put on the table?
This is Josh on the internet. I wanted to ask the committee if we wanted to do any prioritization of these projects. It does appear to be an option from ODOT that not to say we'd be prioritizing these against all the other applications they're receiving, but if things were going to be funded within our area, do we have priorities?
Thanks, Josh. That's a good question. So let's entertain that question before we ask for a motion to approve the proposals. In the past, I believe we have considered that question and have chosen not to prioritize. However, that's one of the options the committee has, and the people that we're passing it on to would take that prioritization into consideration. The asks exceed the anticipated available funding, so the prioritization could be helpful. How does the committee feel about that?
A question. How seriously will the grantor consider priorities from us, and who does the prioritization if there's too many requests for money and too few dollars? How does that work? I mean, is there an advantage to us to set a priority or not? That's really what I'm asking, I guess.
I think in the past we have concluded that we probably don't gain much by spending time and energy here doing prioritization. I don't know, Kate, can you elaborate on that a little bit?
I can say in the last cycle that you all thought that all of the projects were valuable projects, and I think you were a little worried if you ranked them that maybe the ones you ranked lower wouldn't do as well statewide. I might also ask Cosette, as someone who served on the selection committee, to see if you can give any insight into the last cycle. We'd be willing to do that about if other agencies did prioritize and if that did impact.
So thank you. So actually, I did not serve on the selection committee for this funding. I served on the selection committee for the formula funding. So, but to answer your question, Phil, if we don't prioritize here, then it will be done at the selection committee level. So I can see pros and cons both ways. So if we have clear prioritization, I think we should do that. If not, I think we should just forward all the projects.
It does seem likely that if we don't prioritize something, if it's not if we prioritize something lower, then it's likely to get bumped. I don't know, Vidal, what do you?
Oh, that's a really good point. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
It's not working very well.
So I agree 100% that it's a double-edged sword. If you do have all the money, send everything up, call it good. But if you don't, I think what most people tend to forget or not weigh in, the local, that's what we are here now, the local vote or the local prioritization actually does weigh pretty heavy when it gets to that next level in light of them having to divvy things up. And I would even say that they would more lean towards, at least from my own experience, more lean towards, well, if the locals are telling us this is what's happening in their region and this is what's really important to them, even though I feel that this may be important, I still need to figure out how to get what's important up to the same level. So it has that feel to it as well, that it could be a valuable thing if you decide to do it. But I'll leave that up to the committee here to make that decision.
Josh, do you have thoughts?
Well, I kind of wanted to see where other people were. There's only one project here that I would rank below the others, and that doesn't seem worth it to develop an entire ranking methodology. So I'd lean against unless others felt strongly that they had priorities.
Okay, I see a thumbs up from Alma. Yes, Susie. Yeah, okay. Sounds like we're leaning away from prioritizing at this point. So that was a really good question. I'm glad you raised that, Josh. Are there other overarching questions, comments that the committee has?
Quick question. Can you remind us what the difference is between what total is being asked versus what's available?
It's a little complicated with all the different funding sources. Can you sort that out for us, Kate?
It's a little bit complicated, but roughly there's about $28.5 million that's available and roughly about $56.4 in ask right now.
And there will be other agencies that will be vying for these things.
Yeah, so there's a total statewide of 75 applications to make up that $56.4
million.
Okay. So lots of people would like this funding.
Right. So the need far exceeds the resource. Thank you.
Oh, one other note. I should say that $56 million does include the match. So that's not quite... it's better than it looks to just say the 56 million, because a lot of people are coming with somewhere between 10 to 50% of match. So that's why it gets very confusing.
Okay. It could be time for a motion. The motion would be to approve the 7 projects to advance as our recommendation from this committee.
Mr. Chair, I so moved. Phil Barnhart.
Okay, motion on the floor, seconded by Alma. Is there further discussion? Okay, all in favor, please say aye or raise your hand. Aye.
Aye.
Okay, this looks unanimous. Thank you once again, committee, for pulling together. We've wrapped it up this time, formula and this round. And so we're good for another 2 years, I think. Right, Kate? Thanks, everybody.
Which will also be tomorrow.
Thanks to everyone who presented today.
Thank you.
Appreciate it, everyone. Thank you.
Thank you.